Hi, this is Diane, and
I am Megan Tier,
and we're here today to talk about two of the cornerstone principles that we work with a lot in ancientfuture.today and in personal and collective mastery, and that is the concept of true north and also the concept of a higher self. So the way that we've approached doing this today is we've asked masters who have gone through our journeys to give us their experience, whether it was since 5 years ago when they started working with the concept, or even some are as early as last year, exposed to the idea and they've been working with it for a year and now they've gone on to another journey where they're applying their concepts and their experiences of having both of these operating in their lives consciously. So what we've done is we have asked everybody to submit their input on their experiences and their understandings. So Megan's going to give voice to what they have all said, and both of us are going to interject and kind of weave in like a woven basket here with ribbons and all kinds of wonderful things to offer to people. And basically, these are navigational opportunities for how to stay in your truth and how to know what your truth is. So with that very basic introduction, turn it over to you to give us the benefit of your wisdom and the wisdom of our other masters. Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to say before I read these wonderful things that people have written about higher self and true north, that there's no right answer to any of these. And that what we really loved about everyone's diverse answers is that they're really, you know, everyone's unique in the way they think about and connect to their higher self and true north. So just to keep that in mind as we're reading these, you know, just for our listening audience to just connect with whatever resonates with you. And then you can start to develop your own ideas about, well, I wonder what higher self or true north means to me.
To build on that too, both you and I have somewhat different experiences of our own true north and high self, a higher self as well. So we may offer those in the interims as well.
Sure.
Another point that you just stimulated me to think about is it's an evolving sort of consciousness that each of us has. Because we start working with a concept, then we build on experience, and then we can gain new understandings as we continue to work with it. The goal being in this mastery work that we become able, willing, and really unconsciously competent at some point with being in true north all the time and completely aligned with our higher self. So that's the goal in utilizing these concepts as tools. And then through life experience, becoming able to live in true north, fully aligned with our higher selves. That allows us to stay in our mastery 100% of the time, every nanosecond. And we think that's desirable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me start in and we can weave our understandings of what our wonderful masters have said. So our first master said about the higher self, I think of my higher self as connected to my spirit essence with an awareness of the broader perspective and intention of my soul beyond this incarnation. I like that emphasis of beyond this incarnation because maybe some people haven't even thought beyond one incarnation. Maybe the focus of their upbringing and the way they think about things has just been with one incarnation. So this kind of brings in a broader, longer perspective.
And if there is someone who takes this mastery journey that we're taking or their own consciously, the way they're doing it already, and they don't choose to believe that there is more than one lifetime, in my experience and my opinion, based on experience, true north or self could still be very valuable ways of navigating this life. What we suggest, based on our own personal experiences of having knowledge of other lifetimes that some part of us has lived, that it's a much longer and richer and deeper journey over lifetimes of mastery that we deal with, you and I, and everybody so far on the Mastery Journeys has had some inkling that there might be more than just one incarnation for them. Yeah. And that's not a prerequisite for involving in this work or utilizing the tools.
Yeah, great, great point. Okay, so the second one is, my higher self is intimately connected and not contained within my earthly perception of me. My higher self is attuned to me and my blueprint and attuned to the beyond earthly me, even an expression of that holographically.
So similar to that?
Well, similar. And I also want to point out blueprint, because that's another concept we work with a lot. And so this master was saying that when they are connected to their higher self, they're attuning to the blueprint they have for this particular lifetime. So there's kind of that time bound and then timelessness in this description, which I like.
How that works for me in my own life is that my higher self is kind of the ringmaster of the three-ring circus of my life, and has all of the blueprint, the plan for this lifetime, along with a bigger view of what my overall soul's journey is through time. And so as I commune with and stay fully aligned with what my higher self's knowledge is, I can access a great deal more information that assists me in this lifetime than if I'm just here on my own going, well, wonder what I ought to do about this. Or right. So it gives me an internal resource that I can access when, especially in times where I would like to have a bigger view. Thank you.
That's great. Okay. So our next master says, when I refer to my higher self, I am speaking of myself as a spark of the divine in my highest wisdom and understanding form, containing my spiritual DNA. It feels like the part of my being that stretches across the galaxies and is interconnected with all beings. My higher self is an expression of divine will patterned for this lifetime. I just love that image of stretching across the galaxies, because it's a way to imagine how vast, how big our higher self really can be. So I like that perception that our master talked about here.
I do too. And what that also suggests is that I'm not confined to any one way of thinking, that as I grow in my courage to explore outside of whatever is comfortable, then if I can conceive of a higher self that's bigger than what I am as a human, that then gives me a vehicle, if nothing else, to travel into unknown realms consciously, deliberately. And as we've been finding out during periods of COVID, and we're just going through the wildfires of 2020 here in California and Colorado, and hurricanes in the United States. This is US centric right now that I'm speaking, and there are lots of other riots and all kinds of things going on all over the world. There is a great deal of unknown that people are juggling. So to be able to be masterful in the unknown that is presented to us, and then be deliberate in exploring the unknown that's within us and going out into the universe further with our higher self kind of leading the show, is really, it's like having a best friend who knows the path and you've never been in the forest. Thank you.
That's a good way of talking about it. Yeah. Okay. The next one is, my higher self is my eternal soul that has made a choice to incarnate in human form to play with the limitations of body, sensory experiences, survival needs, etc. I believe that my higher self is always present and observing my human view of life. And my human objective is to get to observe from my higher self's perspective of oneness, which to me is also the truth. So this is interesting. I love this, to think about me in my earth vehicle connecting somewhere galactically, or, you know, my bigger higher self that holds a oneness, and then can then sort of have that higher perspective as I look back down on my human experience. So divine experience, human experience, it's all the same experience.
I have absolutely nothing to add to that.
Okay. All right. The next one says, my higher self contains all my truth from all lives that have come before and this life. I can choose to listen to its guidance that I receive through meditation and visualization. So that's, I like the comprehensive nature of this description, which is all lives. That, you know, that's not just the larger galactic perception, it's all lives. What I also like about this master is saying that I connect to my higher self through, you know, visualization and meditation. Those are practical ways.
What I like about the idea that some of us are willing to look at the possibility that we could have existed in other time frames or dimensions or on other planets or however far and wacky a person wants to get with this, and you and I tend to be very comfortable in the realms of the unknown and the possibilities out there, which is the work of the Grand Council and the work of Ancient Future Today, is to really push our current ways of perceiving and thinking about things so we can find new solutions to long-standing issues on the planet, both individually and collectively, that we can create beauty in the world that is only as humans can create it, and then to bring together community that is as diverse as possible. So to have people who are able to conceive of a continua of lives that is being expressed and experienced in this particular moment, and then seen retrospectively or in parallel, however a person conceives that. And then to have people who have wildly different experiences and realities with their lives or their life and their higher self is what gives the richness and the diversity to the community that's forming around the possibilities. And as the council has said, and as you and I are fully committed, no groupthink, that we don't want people thinking the same way about everything. Right. What this is designed today for us to offer is a possibility for each individual seeking their own truth and their own ability to stay aligned with that, regardless of extenuating circumstances or external realities, or so that more and more of us on this planet are living masterfully day to day, moment to moment. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole idea of bringing these issues forward. Thank you.
With interconnection, that's great. The last one I've got here for higher self is, my higher self is the authentic expression of love and evolving mastery I am here to embody. The infinite essence and innate wisdom I be informs my chosen blueprint and purpose for this lifetime. I think that says it all.
Very nice summary. And also it could be an umbrella statement as well. So we'll just tie it up with that. And to thank again, all the masters who contributed to this, because really that all of them have been working with this concept, as we said, from either 5 to 1 year starting ago. And it's an interesting thing. Once it clicks in as a possibility and a person has an experience of that, of being able to have a direct connection to a higher iteration of oneself, mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference in how we can go through life and how we can go through challenges and how we celebrate and how we calibrate. And speaking of calibration, we're going to move into the concept of true north next, which is one of the ways that as masters we calibrate to our truth.
So. Okay, great. Yeah, we've got some juicy quotes from our masters about true north. So this is what the first master said. I think of true north as a kind of feedback mechanism where I can utilize intention and focus on orienting myself to the alignment with the highest truth of my being. Very well said. I like that. I like that this master talked about the feedback mechanism, because it's true. You know, we're connecting to some version of our higher self, higher selves, and then the true north feels like when you put it up, or however you conceive of it, like a compass needle, that's how I conceive of it. I'm going to get feedback, right, from the universe if I'm off true north, or not on my true north, then there is a big feedback that happens. So we're going to get to that in some of these wonderful quotes.
Yes, and wherever you think it's appropriate for us to share the actual concept of the visualization that we offer.
I should do it now because, yeah. Do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, I do, because it's a visualization for anybody that works that way. It's very helpful. So old-fashioned compass with a needle that points to true north, or magnetic north, I guess it is. And then you know from looking at where that needle is, then the opposite of that would be south. Mm-hmm. And the left-hand side would be west, and the right-hand side of that would point to the east. Mm-hmm. And then you have calibrations of degrees of those directions on the compass. So what we suggest is that you visualize a compass on your table, and then with true north pointing upwards, you pick it up and you turn it around so that it's facing outwards. So you would be able to see my true north.
Okay.
And my south and my east and my west of my compass face. So the back of the compass is to my chest.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'll put it this way. So then closing my eyes works and putting my feet on the ground. So I'm in contact with a surface that I can imagine is the earth. And then I envision where my true north is. And for some people, it'll be over here. For some people, it'll be out here. For some people, it'll be right straight up in front of them, or right up from their head, right up into however far up it goes.
Right.
The idea is for each of us to work with it enough to know where true north is for us.
Okay.
And one of the things we can, I would say universally say, is that when it's pointing somewhere besides up and down in my own system through the middle of my being, so to speak, and grounded into the earth and up into however far up, that if it's out here or it's over here, I may be calibrating to what other people think is true.
Right.
Or I may be being dependent, or I may be being a people pleaser, or just cautious, or unwilling to know and to speak my own truth. So this is where the mastery work comes in, and it helps me to understand, one, what my own truth is, and two, to learn to have the courage and the awareness to stay in my true north, mm-hmm. so that when I do speak, I am speaking my truth.
Great. That's such a great visual. So the next quote is exactly along the lines of what you've just said. My true north is a very accurate internal compass aligned with my best interest in mind. It feels like a home base and a checkpoint for my reality. Telling the truth all the time and not hiding the truth is a new proactive behavior in my everyday life. I use this to establish and define true north to use as a reference point for everything I explore. It's like testing and calibrating your equipment before you use it. So I love that. It's very, just goes along so well with what you've just said.
Yeah, and it's a very pragmatic approach to how to use it as well. If we think of it as an instrument, a calibration to something, it really can be used that way. So
okay. Great.
Thanks.
All right, the next one says, my true north is my own internal divine wisdom. To realize my absolute true north, I need to follow my bliss. I experience so much deep joy and love that every day my heart is filled with gratitude. The challenge for me is to not limit my true north to a location, but to access it within me at any time and wherever I am. To me, I think this is one of the keys, because oftentimes we imagine that the true north is calibrated to a place, or even if we imagine it's up in the sky or up in the stars, and to recognize, to pull it back in and to say, it's part of me, it's my being that is extending up to true north. So just to pull it back in and remember that, to not limit true north. I like that.
Well, yes, and to remember that it is a calibration to that which is far more honest, far more devoid of all of the concerns and traumas and challenges of the human experience that this divine being is having.
Right.
So that it allows me to access, if a person uses it this way, to access my truth all the way up to wherever my higher self resides in my being and however far my being goes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important not to limit the true north to just this, to the human.
Right.
That's actually connecting me mm-hmm. from this truth to my higher truth.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Okay. All right. The next one says, true north is my blueprint destiny for this lifetime. Being in my actual true north at any given moment is that feeling of uniqueness, bursting with gratitude, being peace-filled and grounded in that moment. I feel balanced within myself and connected to the universe. Okay, I love that, because this is giving some clues for how it feels internally when we're on true north. So this is, you know, feeling balanced within yourself is great. Feeling connected to the universal, also important.
Yeah, I would just say yes and yes to all of what you just said, as well as what you read. Thanks.
Okay. All right, the next master says, true north implies directional alignment. When a project goes south, quote, it's a saying that means something is a failure. So stepping a little to the east or to the west means stepping off center, my true north or my purpose. So I like that this is also talking about that true north is calibrated to a person's mission and purpose in life. So that's another thing to think about when you want to calibrate to your true north, is to really do some good work around, you know, what is my purpose for this lifetime? What am I doing here? And what can I contribute as a master?
Yes, and we work with blueprints, with blueprints for a given lifetime, the one we're in right now, extensively in Ancient Future Today, as our roadmaps, as our purpose, as our mission, as our avenue for experiencing life to the full. And for me, this is really a nice way that this person talks about how it allows one to connect to the blueprint, and some will experience their higher self holding that blueprint, okay. kind of being the repository for the blueprint, mm-hmm. as well as having stepped it down so that we can become conscious of it and work with it deliberately. So that's another reason to be able to go true north to higher self if a person chooses to do that.
Mm-hmm. And then this thing about the map, so that we have a blueprint or a map that we can actually read, and we can read it effectively when our higher self's involved and when our true north is pointing to our higher self. So we've got, I like all these analogies of the map and the compass and the blueprint. Yeah, it's fun. Okay, our next master says, true north to me is a compass needle. When I am on my path, my compass needle is on my central pillar, straight up and down. When I project or exhibit codependency, I can feel my needle tipping out towards others. Then I seek to right my ship with my compass back to absolute true north and continue on my path. So this is bringing in another analogy of the ship. And, you know, you could even say being a captain of your ship. So I like these analogies. They help us to do more visually calibrating to our true north. So this master says, oh, they're watching when that needle starts to point out in codependency or projection, and then pulls it back in to calibrate to one's own internal true north.
Absolutely nothing to add to that.
Okay. The next master says, being consistently in true north means being centered in my truth and being in a state of flow, which happens more often in love and connection mode versus fear and protection mode. For people with relational and developmental trauma, making the shift from being externally focused to being centered takes time. So I like this because this master is being very realistic about that if one has experienced relationship trauma, developmental trauma, some good time to recalibrate towards one's own true north it does take some time. So I think this master's being sensitive to, for some people, not getting too frustrated, because sometimes it takes some time to recalibrate.
Oh, and as we said earlier, in process, it's not an event. You do not just one day say, okay, I'm going to connect up to my true north and bam, it's done and it stays that way. Life will give us all sorts of opportunities to calibrate to true north and to be challenged to stay on true north or to be true north. Mm-hmm. And as we work with this, I'm fortunate in that I've worked with it long enough that it has become who I am. My true north is resident within me. And I still know that it's a calibration that not only goes through me, it goes beyond me. Right. And it's unique to me. You know, there are some people that might want to envision it being your star in the multiverse. Mm-hmm. And that's where you go. And that's your true north. And just like the captains of the ships before we had navigational dashboards, that they would navigate by the stars. It's not dissimilar to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not calibrating to an entire galaxy or a different star all the time. Ah, yeah, right.
Okay, so this next master says, when I am in the resonance of true north, I feel calm, free, open, peaceful, playful, and happy. When I am not in my true north, I feel anxious, tired, fearful, doubtful, depressed, and lost. From my experience, I am out of my true north when my ego, my shadow aspects, my wounded inner children take me over and I operate at a lower frequency. So this master has really described what it feels like to be on, what it feels like to be off. I also love this introduction of higher frequency, lower frequency. Some people think about that as higher self, maybe ego self or lower self. And that's another thing to think about, this calibration to a higher frequency, to the true north.
I like that, because as we lift ourselves up from whatever it is that debilitates us in our lives, you know, whatever it may be, we move into higher registers of energy. Mm-hmm. And as we move into that, it becomes more possible to access the truth rather than the pain. Right. or the discomfort or the whatever fear or whatever it may be that's coming on. Mm-hmm. So I really believe that as one chooses consciously to find the good in whatever is happening, to learn the lessons and be grateful that we can learn, to focus on what is working as well as being able to identify what isn't and then work on that and get that sorted out, yeah. Which is all part of living masterfully. I think these are really good points. And getting into the ego, getting into those lower registers where all that blame and shame and feeling separated and all the different things that come into the human experience, which in my experience is why I come to this planet, is to be a divine being in human form, having a human experience, and remembering that I'm a master, as we believe every single human being is, who's born on this planet, regardless of age or race or education or economics or anything else. Our philosophy is that each and every one of us is a master. And that each of us has this blueprint to live. So we will have these experiences that are human. We will be drawn down into the mire. We will be abandoned or betrayed or whatever, because that's how it works in a three-dimensional world like Earth. And that's why it's so wondrous to come here and learn and explore and experience. So it's nice to have a compass.
Well, right, because a lot of people calibrate to fear, or they calibrate to depression or anxiety. And of course, if you're focused on that, you're going to have a very different experience than if you're focused on, calm, free, open, peaceful, playful, and happy. Yeah. So that's, you know, it really good to know that if we've got masters listening that have calibrated on fear or anxiety, that there are choices. You can calibrate to something else. Yeah.
I'd like to just say one more thing about that before we move on to the next brilliant comment on True North. And that is, we have people in the mastery community that's forming who have become so clear about the fact that they've dedicated their previous decades of life to struggle or to pain or to
suffering.
Loneliness, suffering, whatever it might be. And it's fascinating when we really get a handle on what our blueprint says we came to do, that it's always perfect for whatever the struggles have been up to the point where we say, okay, is this something I wish to continue consciously now that I have navigational tool and destination to higher self to work with? Does that make sense still? And for some people it does, because they're actually here as a researcher on struggle or pain or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And it's done in a very different energy with a very different conscious intention when that realization comes together for someone. It's not like, well, it's wrong that you're struggling. No, not necessarily. It could be that you're through and now you will calibrate to something else and explore something else. Right. Or it may be that you write a book and go on the speaking tour and help thousands, if not more, people understand that struggle is a choice. And it is a, until you know that, it seems like a death sentence.
Right.
So the True North and the higher self really help us in the decision-making process of, will I continue to use my time, money, energy, relationships, talents, all of that, to continue on this path? Or will I choose something else?
Right. Great.
No right, no wrong, just a choice.
Okay, that's great. All right, we've got two more. All right, one master says, when I choose to follow my True North's guidance, I feel I am living, following, expressing my True North, and typically feel very light and uplifted, and my True North needle is in the proper position. That's very much what we've been saying. Anything you want to add? Okay, our last master says, absolute True North is my chosen path and direction, pointing and leading to my highest embodied mastery potential this lifetime. That's a great one to end on, because I just think that's a big, poignant period at the end of this wonderful talk. So what I love about that is that it's a chosen path, which is what something you just said, and also that it's leading to this master's highest embodied mastery potential this lifetime, meaning that it feels like this master is really exploring, you know, what is my highest potential? Mm-hmm. I could choose this path, this path, this path, and if I choose this and I'm aligned in my True North to my higher self, really there's so many possibilities. And also limitations, because this is just one lifetime. And so to get clear on what are the life lessons of this lifetime, it's actually quite relieving to know.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of freedom in that and a lot of opportunity to really play with what is rather than regrets or, you know, grief, continual grief or all of those kinds of things that are either very specific or just kind of in the ethers that many people just live a lifetime of being buffeted around by circumstances or emotions or whatever. So that is another thing about True North and higher self that really helps, is that it stabilizes a person inside of their own operating system. And then they can get to know what those components are, how they are triggered emotionally, where they spend their, how they regenerate energy, how they use their energies for themselves and with others. There's so many things that people can learn with these tools in place and with the consciousness that they are equipped, you know, and it's not like you have to join a club to get your True North or to find your higher self. It's already in place. It's a matter of being able to find it and work with it. We haven't really discussed how far and wide we're going to post this. I know it's going on our website, maybe onto iTunes. So if you're a person who hasn't really considered personal or collective mastery before, please be aware of the fact that we have huge amounts of free material for anybody. We have over 200 podcasts that are free about mastery and about the characteristics and qualities that we think are important in mastery. So all you have to do is go on to ancientfuture.today, past, present, and future, in other words, so ancientfuture.today. And please feel very welcome to nose around the website, to join any of our activities. We have one-day adventures in all kinds of weird, wonderful, and sometimes very practical adventures that are usually 6 hours long and are individual journeys taken in parallel with a small group of people. Mm-hmm. And then we have journeys called virtual journeys of mastery, which are you working with materials that we have online and have had online for several years now. And then a group call. And some of the journeys are 9 weeks in the foundational basics. Some are 12 weeks. And so you're welcome to interface with us any way you can. Mm-hmm. We work with a council of off-planet wisdom that is based in love, light, and laughter called the Grand Council, who we use as an external council to advise and to challenge us to really keep pushing what's possible for ourselves and each other. Mm-hmm. We also have Wednesday evenings with the Grand Council, which is a Wednesday evening by Pacific time in the US. And we have different topics and people come and share their wisdom. And it's getting increasingly so that there is so much that people who are on a conscious, masterful journey for themselves are really opening to their own wisdom. And it's just remarkable how much we learn with each other. So why don't you, if there's anything you'd like to add to that, please do, and close us out. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, great. Well, just to remind people too that, Diane, you do readings, you and the Grand Council do readings for people, so they can do a one-off reading if they just want to understand their mastery, or they're just coming in as brand new to these concepts. We welcome you. And Diane definitely does readings, and I do soul astrology readings. So we've got a wide variety of ways that you can interface with us, and we would love to get to know you. We're expanding our community, and it's a wonderful community all over the world, and we're excited that you might want to be part of it.
Yeah, I just thought of one thing that we've just started talking about recently, which is why I didn't think of it earlier, and that is that we're bringing mastery into the corporate world. Having been a consultant since the early 80s, in multinational corporations and also with family-owned corporations and community groups and governments. So we're bringing mastery into groups of people that are looking for the next iteration of how to lead from their masterful selves rather than from another place in their being. So really exciting. Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, we're so glad you joined us for this. And we just wish you a blessed day and week. And come join us on some mastery adventures. We'd love to get to know you.
All Absolutely. Right. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.